Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready. So they went and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Father, as we consider this scripture this morning, God, we ask that you would teach us through your Holy Spirit, that we would really bring to remembrance what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus is doing in us, and what Jesus will do when he comes again. And these things we pray in his precious name. Amen. Very simply today, I just want to talk to you about the three tenses of the Lord's Supper. And the first of these is the past tense. In chapter 22, verse 1, it says, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. Then if you go down to verse 7, it says, then the day of unleavened bread, it came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And so Jesus sends out Peter and John to go and make preparations so that they can eat the Passover meal. So he and his disciples can have this meal together. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread is really included three feasts. That by the time of Jesus, these three feasts, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover, and the Feast of the First Fruits, had kind of gotten rolled up together into one feast that they just called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they kind of celebrated that all together in over a 7 or 8 day period. First was the Passover. The Passover rolled right into the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That lasted 7 days, and they wrapped up the whole thing with the Feast of the First Fruits. All three of those put together became known as the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The key event, though, clearly was the one that kicked it off, and that was the Passover. And that's what Jesus came to celebrate with his apostles there in the city of Jerusalem. The Passover was a time when every Jewish family gathered together and they remembered the time when God had delivered the Israelites out of their bondage in slavery there in Egypt and had brought them out of Egypt with, as the scripture says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. God did miraculous signs and wonders and powerful things. You remember the plagues that came upon Egypt during the time of Moses when he was asking Pharaoh to let the people go and worship the Lord. And take this journey to worship the Lord in the desert. Pharaoh, of course, wouldn't let them go. And all of these plagues came about. And the very last plague was the death of the firstborn. And God said He would make a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians on that day. And if the Israelites would take a lamb and kill it and take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and of their house over that, then take and cook the lamb and eat it for this Passover meal, then when the angel of the Lord would pass over that area, no one in that home would be killed. They would be saved. They would not die. And so it was this time of remembrance. It was a feast that Jesus was celebrating with His disciples, and they were doing exactly as God had commanded them to do. And they were remembering this miraculous deliverance, not only of them, God delivering them from slavery in Egypt, but God also delivering them from death itself. And they were engaged in this ceremony to remember the Lord's saving work on their behalf. And as Jesus and His disciples were in this upper room eating their lamb, they were doing so in remembrance of what God had done. But Jesus was also showing them that this was more than just a Passover meal. As they were moving from eating the flesh of this Passover lamb, Jesus pointed them to Himself as the ultimate Passover lamb. And as He did, He instituted this ordinance that we still practice today and that we will do in just a few minutes. In verse 19, Jesus takes the bread, this unleavened bread that they had, which was a picture of His body, His life that was completely without sin. That's why it was unleavened. The leaven or the yeast was a picture of corruption and of sin. And this was unleavened bread. And He took the bread, it says in verse 19, and said, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Now Paul, commenting on this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Pete read for a moment ago for us, says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He come." And so one thing that we are doing, one thing that we must remember as we come to the Lord's table, is we remember the Lord's death. This is the ordinance that we partake of when we remember Jesus Christ. When we come and partake of the Lord's Supper, we are doing so in remembrance of His body that was broken for us. In remembrance of His blood that was shed for us. In remembrance of His blood that, when applied to the doorposts of my heart, will cause death to pass over. Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in Me shall never die." When we have come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we have crossed over from death to life. That we have a new life in Jesus Christ. We are raised with Christ from the dead so that we live forever with Him. That is what we remember as we partake of the Lord's Supper. When we come to the Lord's table, our remembrance must be first on the Lord's death and His burial and His resurrection. That's the good news. That's how we come to be saved. That's how our sins are forgiven. That's how we have the promise of eternal life. That's how we have our reservation in heaven. It's through believing in Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection. And when we appropriate that for ourselves by faith, God, through His grace, gives us a new life in Jesus. At the Lord's table, we call to mind the high cost of our salvation. Oh, it costs us nothing. But it costs Jesus His very life and blood. We remember the past, what Jesus did for us, the Lord's death. Secondly, in the present, we remember our communion with Christ right now. In verse 14, Jesus, it says, when the hour had come, Jesus, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I like that where Jesus said, with fervent desire I have desired. He uses the same word twice. Desire, I have desired. With this passion, He says, I've had this passion to eat with you this meal before I suffer. Jesus longed to have this fellowship, to have this meal, to have this time with His apostles, with these disciples, before He was to suffer and to die. He wanted to have this special time with them, a time of fellowship, a time of communion. When Paul describes the meaning of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he writes in verse 16, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word communion there is a word that in the Greek is koinonia. It means fellowship. We were studying our Sunday school lesson this morning in one of the adult classes we looked at in Acts chapter 2, where it describes the disciples who had believed in Jesus Christ gathering together, and it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, the communion, the gathering together of one, the oneness that they had in Christ. We talked to the kids this morning about one plus all of us as one. We are one in Jesus Christ. That's the communion. We are one with Him and we are one with one another. The fellowship that we have in Christ. And that's what we remember in the present today. We remember the past, that Jesus died for us, was raised from the dead. But we also remember that today Jesus lives with us. And He wants to have that fellowship with us. Can you picture Jesus today saying those same words to you that He said to His disciples that night as we come to the table this morning? Can you picture Him saying to you, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you? Don't you see that what Jesus wants with you every moment of every day is to have that fellowship with you, so that you are one with Him and one with one another in Christ? That fellowship that we share, how beautiful that is. And so in the present tense, we have this fellowship with Jesus, where we not only eat with Him, but we walk with Him moment by moment, day by day. That's our communion with Christ. And then the future tense, till He comes. You know, twice in this passage, Jesus points to the future. In verse 16, he says, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." In verse 18, he says, "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Jesus points to the coming of the kingdom of God. Now we know in a sense that the kingdom of God was already with them. For the king was with them. Jesus is the king. And wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. Jesus came preaching and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near." Jesus would say that the kingdom of God is within you. But there is a more fulfillment of that in the future. That yes, the kingdom of God is with us because Jesus is with us. That's the communion that we have in the present. But in the future, Jesus will come again. And when He comes again, He will rule and reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He will set up His kingdom that will be an everlasting kingdom that will never end. And Jesus says on that day, He will eat and drink with us in the kingdom of God. The book of Revelation speaks about that. In Revelation chapter 19, it describes what it calls the marriage supper of the Lamb, or the wedding supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus reigns in His kingdom as King of Kings, His bride, those who believe in Him, are with Him. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." And we see Jesus Christ reigning as the King of Kings. The kingdom has come. And then it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then He said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And He said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." Indeed, Jesus Christ is coming again. And as this passage tells us, He's coming to establish His kingdom with His people, and who will be rewarded upon His return. But chief among the rewards that we receive on that day is the reward of sharing in the blessing of the celebration surrounding our Lord at this marriage supper of the Lamb, where we are together with all of God's people sharing in that. And Jesus says, "It will be when the kingdom of God comes." Remember what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:26. We've said it a couple times already. He said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." What? "Till He comes." Till He comes. And so we're to remember that He is coming again. Why do we need to remember? Because Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back soon. And He has invited as many as who would believe in Him to sit down with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you accepted His invitation? Are you sure that you have accepted by faith the forgiveness that was offered to you through Christ? That you have that eternal life that only He can give? If you're not sure about that today, before we come to the table, we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we do, if you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not sure that your sin is forgiven in Jesus, if you're not sure that you've been invited and have accepted that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, then I invite you today, Jesus invites you today, to come and to give your life to Him and to repent, to turn away from your sin and to turn and say, Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe that You were buried and that You were raised from the dead on the third day, and that You give life to all those who believe in You. And I believe in You today. Jesus, save me. And He will. And if you've done that, here's a question for you. Am I living my life in such a way that on that day I will be rewarded with Him in His return? You know, Jesus has a reward for all of those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready to receive it? Are you urgently preparing your life for His return? Just as Jesus told Peter and John, go and prepare the supper. So He says to all of us today, as we come to the table, prepare yourselves for the supper. Prepare yourselves for that day when He comes again. Are you ready for His return? Are you urgently partaking of His grace every day, walking with Jesus? Are you urgently looking for Him to come back at any moment? As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come to You in the name of Jesus who loved us and gave His life for us, we pray, God, that if there's someone here today that needs to trust You as their Lord and Savior, that they would come forward, that they would say, Pastor, today I want to give my life to Jesus because He gave His life for me. And Father, I pray for all of us who have received Jesus that we would prepare ourselves by allowing You to examine our hearts and make us ready to purge us from every sin as we confess them before You. That as we come to Your table, God, we would be doing so by faith and in the holiness that comes through Your Spirit who lives in us. And that we would be looking forward to that day when Jesus comes again. Amen.